Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 17th of September, and I'm recording at 10:13 p.m., and that is still British summer time here in London. Well, now, as I'm sure you're aware, this was the Fed's day here, the Fed's meeting and announcement, about which there had been so much discussion. It's probably a relief to have it to have that behind us, but I want to read to you the Fed's concluding paragraph from its own words. This is not an interpretation. This is from Janet Yellen. Quote: "When the committee decides to begin to remove policy accommodation, it will take a balanced approach consistent with its long-run goals of maximum employment and inflation of 2%. The committee currently anticipates that even after employment and inflation are near mandate consistent levels, economic conditions may, for some time, warrant keeping the target federal funds rate below levels the committee views as normal in the longer run." Unquote. So there you have it. It's really a very, very cautious statement. Now, the risk with a cautious statement is that that may cause people to feel, well, hey, maybe actually they think things are worse than what other people feel. Well, you know, they can think anything they want. But my own take on this is that the Fed is very anxious not to repeat the preemptively sharp interest rate hikes that we saw just before the stock market bubble burst in 2000. And then, of course, the Fed was moving rates up in 2007 before that big meltdown in 2008. So it's going to err on the side of caution in here. The employment figures, well, we've got an unemployment figure of 5.1%. So that's come down a long way, obviously. And but yet they're still mentioning that. So clearly the Fed is concerned about the quality of the jobs. That's been a concern all along. Although that they may have improved somewhat in here overall, and somewhat higher salary jobs recently, but the Fed also knows that the fracking industry has seen a lot of layoffs. The whole energy sector has seen a lot of layoffs, really since crude oil prices started to fall quite rapidly in the second half of 2014, and of course that has continued in 2015. So bearing in mind that hirings in the fracking sector, well, that was really the strongest area of U.S. employment up until, as I say, up through mid-2014. So they're a little cautious on that side. But the eyebrow raiser, the eyebrow raiser here is the emphasis on this 2% and the very cautious that's their 2% inflation goal and the very cautious statement. So there's no indication of when they might carry rates in terms of naming a possible or raise rates, except mentioning the conditions. So assume that they want unemployment somewhat lower, and they want to see inflation that is, if not at 2%, at least is heading close to that level. Well, that could leave rates on hold for quite a while here, because we know that global GDP growth is soft. We also know that commodity prices have fallen very sharply. So the oil price will certainly be a factor, not just the oil price, other commodities. Well, those will be factors here in helping to keep that U.S. inflation rate near zero. And there's also something that I've discussed, and that's the positive disinflation caused by technological innovation. But the Fed's not going to mention that in here, and nor should it necessarily. But again, net result, this is a very, very cautious statement here overall. I would rather have the Fed err on this myself. I would rather have the Fed err on the side of caution, as they have done, rather than say, well, we've really got to get rates up, and we need to get rates up before the U.S. election cycle is in full swing, and all those considerations. So they're obviously not going to worry about that here in the short to medium term overall. Now, I suspect that the Fed will be criticized for this action in some quarters. I am not critical, as you know, but this is always going to happen. Everybody will have a view on this, and that's the inevitable situation here overall. Now, how did markets respond? Well, first, there was the appreciation before the Fed decision and statement that they probably would not cut, I beg your pardon, that they probably would not hike rates at this meeting, and they certainly didn't do that. And that had caused some optimism, which we'd seen on Wall Street, and we'd also seen it in Asia. And Asia had a pretty good day today. China was the exception. It didn't fall as much as it gained yesterday, but the Shanghai Composite was down 2.1%. Remember, it was up nearly 5% yesterday when the government came in with that late buying. Well, presumably they didn't do that. Well, then we know they didn't do that here today. The only China index on my Bloomberg screen that was higher was the H shares, the China Enterprise Index. That was up nearly two-thirds of a percentage point. Other Asia Pacific stock markets were higher in here. Now, India was closed. So, but of the others, Taiwan, decent gain, 1.35%. Best gain was Malaysia, up 2.09%. Indonesia also up 106.06%. Now, these may be weaker in here tomorrow, given what else has happened, and I'll just check that out for you. Europe was mixed, and mostly well, a few more markets up than down on the day. Generally a fairly quiet day, although Spain had a decent gain of 1.3%, but the other markets closed with very small losses or very small gain. For instance, German DAX index was only up 0.02 of a percent, barely changed on the day. But the interesting development occurred on Wall Street, and it seesawed. The market seesawed there before giving up gains, and it did this several times. It had a rally, and then it moved to the downside, and then had quite a good rally. I think the Dow was up 170 points at one stage, and then that melted fairly quickly. And moved down about 80 points and closed down 65, so just over a third of a percentage point. The S&P 500, similarly, that rallied above the 2000 level. I think it was up at 2017 near the high. It was up about 24 points near the high of the day, but gave that up and then closed down 5 points, or a quarter of a percentage point. The NASDAQ 100 in NASDAQ Composite Index rather closed up a tenth of a percentage point. So slight gain there. Now, elsewhere in government bonds, the U.S. Treasury bonds, which had rallied sharply, yields had rallied sharply yesterday, up to 2.29%, and they fell back sharply here today, down to 2.19%, as there was no short-term interest rate hike. The VIX swung around and closed well off its lows, down slightly on the day at 21.14, and the U.S. dollar fell somewhat, fell quite sharply here today. I assume that, again, people had some long dollar positions on the basis that if the Fed didn't raise rates today, that they would do it fairly soon or before year end. And looks like that's not going to happen at all. So dollar index weakened, currently down 860 points. That's down to, on the dollar index, that's down to 94.443. That is a downward dynamic in here today. The Fed will be happier to see the dollar index lower, because really the dollar's rise, although the dollar has been rallying for the last, I beg your pardon, ranging for the last few months, it had rallied quite sharply earlier in the year, as you know. And that was a headwind, not least in terms of corporate earnings for U.S. multinational companies. And it was a more of a headwind for the economy than an interest rate hike or two would have been. So the Fed will have also, although it didn't mention other interest rates, it did mention the softness of the global economy. But the Fed will know that a lot of emerging markets had borrowed dollars when the dollar was weaker, and so a further dollar rise would cause some problems there, in addition to causing U.S. multinational companies an earnings squeeze. Now, what else to report here? Against the euro, the euro rallied up to 1.1426 against the US dollar. Technically, the pattern is it's just pushing above its 200-day moving average, and there's a small little base there. So technically, it does look like the euro could move a little bit higher. I certainly don't think that the European Central Bank, Mr. Draghi, will not want the euro moving up too much here overall, but we might see a little bit further gain in the short term. Overall, over the medium term, we know that the QE will be continuing in Europe, and that will help to prevent the euro from moving up too much. Sterling moved up, sent in here 1.5587, showing Australian dollar. Actually, Australian dollar is soft here, 0.7166665. And to round it out here in terms of the commodity markets, silver, which had a good day yesterday, was steady in here today, up 22.5 to $15.11. Palladium, which had a good day yesterday, ended up swung around here a bit, but did on the day, but closed down $2.70 at $609.25. Platinum is showing up $8 here at 983, And gold up 11, just over 11 at 1130, nearly $1131. So they are a little bit firmer. Grains and beans mostly lower here, and industrial metals were lower. I think the only one that was higher, copper, was up a cent in the U.S., but the other industrial metals were lower. Crude oil dipped just a little bit. Remember, it had a good day on the upside yesterday. WTI down 25 cents to today to 46.90, and Brent down 40 cents today to 49.35. Well, I wouldn't be too influenced by the U.S. market action in here today. Overall, we still have a recovery. The big development, as you know, was the climactic low that we saw on the 24th of August. But we are up near the higher side of the range on a number of U.S. indices, particularly the two NASDAQ indices. And we can expect a little bit of resistance here. And let's see what Friday brings. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.